inspired On Air, originated by Sarah Bullimore, named by Julie Ellaby, and with added Amelia Chambers and Alex Levchuk, taking the world of regional arts entertainment into a whole new dimension.
Quite right. Sarah Bullimore, welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much, Alex. How are you?
Excellent. Well, it's marvellous, as you heard, in terms of the ident there, together with Julie Ellaby, two of the co-founders of Inspired On Air. So great news as far as that's concerned. One, collected by telephone, Julie. I mean, that's just wonderful. Connected by telephone alone. We need to plug you in, Julie. Otherwise, who knows what could actually happen? You'd simply have to read the lips, and that would not actually help at all in any way, shape or form. So hopefully all's well now. So you can tell we actually did our technique and training you to such a wondrous level. We have not one, but two newbies joining us for Inspired On Air, making their debut as far as Siren Radio is actually concerned. We've got the fabulous Les, who's actually born originally in Scarborough, but now is actually based in Bridlington, soon to be so moving away south with some basically civilising folk. That's Ellen Granger. How are you, Ellen?
I'm okay.
Marvellous, just okay. We'll get that sorted out by the end of the show. And what can I say? I mean, alliteration, Julie. You know how much I love alliteration. And when you actually have Leone's Luminarium, I mean, that is it, really. It's Leone good. How are you, Leone?
I'm all right, thank you. The weather's really lovely outside. On my walk here, it was quite positive.
Good.
I was finally happy about it. Yeah,
that's the only way forward. Now, Leone, you are doing a work placement, I believe, with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited about it.
And this also entails the Luminarium.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have seen from the outside, and indeed even viewed Julie Ellaby putting up various sort of stands and posters, which I won't let you forget, Julie, because it was a very memorable time. But I never actually got inside last time.
Oh, no.
I didn't actually very survey myself of the press thing. I think we, Ed Wellman and
yeah,
and
we had
Ryan.
A Simon team
yes,
there,
yeah,
definitely.
Exactly, so.
If you can, do, because it's just extraordinary. Please try and make it this time.
Sarah, have you been inside the Luminarium?
Not for many, 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 many years.
I think it's changed over those times. It's not like centuries old, really. It's not a sort of weird stuff, etc. Ellen, the Luminarium?
I haven't even heard of it.
Never heard of it, exactly. So why then, Leone, should Ellen and Sarah, and indeed our listener, be particularly keen on accessing this Luminarium, which, as one looks through the Lincoln Arts Centre brochure, Architects of Air, Wednesday the 10th to Thursday the 11th of April, and then Saturday the 13th, and Sunday the 14th of July.
Yeah, actually we've extended our run of the Luminarium this year because it was such a big success last year. So hopefully even more people than the 4,000 that attended last year, which is quite a significant number, will be lucky to attend.
Did you step through the threshold yourself?
Unfortunately, I didn't because it was first year, so I was just kind of like getting my head around everything sort of thing. But luckily...
You first years.
I was quite disappointed to have missed, actually, because it looked like absolutely significant. It was amazing. Even from some of the videos and like the research that I've done myself personally on the Luminarium, like...
From the Guggenheim in Spain to the Sydney Opera House in Australia, the monumental and interactive walk-in sculptures of Architects of Air and designer Alan Parkinson have astounded audiences across the globe.
It's quite... the description is quite accurate, actually.
What, you're suggesting the Performing Arts Centre actually sort of uses hyperbole in its brochure? Rubbish! If anything, you're underselling it, Julie, isn't it?
Given that I'm sat right here and I wrote it, It is everything that is promised in the brochure, obviously. I mean, it's wonderful that it has travelled internationally. And Sarah mentioned you've been to experience it many years ago because it's Architects of Air are Nottingham-based and yet have this huge international following. And they have been making Luminarium for many years. And each new one that they create tends to have a slightly different take on the theme. They've learnt some new skills. They're very experimental. Well, last year we had Mirococo. So the one that's coming to us this year, even if you've experienced it previously, it will be a brand new kind of experience. You'll feel that same sense of awe and wonder, and you'll be able to get yourself lost within it. This one is called Quadlumen, and it's almost like a kind of, do I dare say, a Frankenstein's monster of a Luminarium. It's, I mean, talk about like
201 years after Mary Shelley actually wrote the book. Suddenly we're into that. It's alive! It's alive!
Well, insofar as it's kind of been resurrected from segments...
Frankenstein quote, yeah. See what he did?
Yeah, from segments of previous Luminaria, and they've managed to create a brand new experience. I love that ethos of not being wasteful and being able to kind of create something that is a brand new experience. And there'll be sections of it that are brand new as well. But that's what's so wonderful about these things, the way they've created them, is that they get to be reconfigured and live on in new ways.
Has that sold you, Sarah? Will we be seeing you in this side of Lincoln? Because I know there's so much to be done with respect to the Newark Book Festival and so on, between Wednesday the 10th of April and indeed Sunday the 14th of April.
Well, it sounds like I need to get the little mini goddaughters along, doesn't it, and go have fun with them.
Mini goddaughters? Is that a smaller than norm? Is it with VTs,
yes, well, they are quite small.
Well, there we are. So, and of course, tickets can be bought on the day, but it's worthwhile noting, actually, Leonie, that queues often occur.
Yeah.
Queues
are quite long. They were quite long last year as well. So it is highly recommended that you do book a ticket in advance. But if you can't, that's totally fine. A lot of people actually waiting in the queues have mentioned that it's quite worthwhile. Like, that wait time is quite worthwhile.
Patience has its own reward.
Exactly, yeah. It's definitely... Yeah. It's an experience in itself, so you'll never really get to experience anything like it unless you go to the one after that next year, or unless you've experienced it before. But it's something... It's even just from seeing the videos of it from my colleagues and seeing, like, actually researching into it, I've not been myself, but I'm kind of, like, itching to go, if that makes any sense. So that just kind of shows how, like, magnificent it is in a spectacle of itself.
Page 23, if you wish to actually have interactivity, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre brochure.
Yes,
I know. It's an actual paper routine as well, is where you can actually find photographs and various other bits and pieces. Ellen, does it appeal to yourself?
It does. It actually looks really interesting.
Well, there we are, you see, that's positive stuff there. We're going to find out more about what's happening with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Performing Arts Centre. You know, this is it. You say... I'm still using the full name. I was so tempted to go LPAC there. You won't believe.
People creep into LPAC territory very, very quickly these days.
I do. It's not good, is it? You've got this Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Although that said, we had, because we've got Horrible Histories coming to us this weekend, and they made this beautiful little video snip for us to share with our audiences, where they had the characters in costume, and they were just a little bit just for Lincoln. And I was so devastated when they said Lincoln Performing Arts Theatre. I was like, no. But it was so beautifully made.
You held yourself back from running on stage and saying, stop it, it's cancelled, it's all over, you got the name wrong.
But it's Horrible History, so you kind of have to forgive them because they're wonderful. And I'm going to see it anyway.
And also, quite luckily, when you look up Lincoln Performing Arts Theatre. Yeah, when you look at it, it comes up with centre anyway, so that's quite lucky in itself.
Okay. Confused? Don't worry, we'll get clarification on that and more. Plus, we'll be finding out about what's going on in July in Newark. I believe that's right, Sarah? July?
It is indeed, yeah.
That's right. After this. Claire Grogan or CP Grogan, lead singer with a band called Altered Images, she could be happy. There is a theme that's running through this programme. We'll explain what in the near future. Sarah might actually know. Sarah Bullimore, would you like to ask Julie or indeed Leonie? You could ask Ellen, but she's new to the programme as well, so it goes. Would you like to actually ask them what key things are coming up as far as the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is concerned?
Absolutely, yes, please, to Julie. Yes, what can we look forward to in the next lovely spring-summer season?
Are you looking for things for you personally? Are you looking for things to do with your goddaughters?
Yes, absolutely.
Bit of both.
Love children.
Okay, so then it's all about the Easter holidays, which we are kicking off with Luminarium. But we also have... in fact, one of your goddaughters is very, very little, isn't she?
Yeah.
I don't know if she's too old already or not for an opera for babies called Over the Moon. And we've not had opera for babies before, and I didn't know it was a thing until we programmed it in. And now that I know about it, I think it's just an absolutely gorgeous idea.
Is it quite visual?
It is, yes. It's very much a sensory experience, and it's very playful and very intimate and relaxed, and the families and their friends kind of get to join in with them as well.
That sounds perfect.
As a first introduction to the arts, Opera for Babies is definitely one that I can recommend, and that's on Thursday the 18th of April.
Lovely.
Marvellous.
Sounds beautiful.
You've been quite literally over the moon with respect
to that.
Over
the moon. It's honestly, it looks gorgeous. I think everyone's going to really enjoy it.
Oh, it sounds beautiful.
I mean, presumably, if you're not a baby, you can still... because it could be quite difficult if the entire audience is...
It's a really, really strict age group.
It would be like
actually.
Boss Baby.
Yeah.
You have sort of animated sort of characters who actually can, or Stewie from Family Guy, perhaps.
Okay, if you're not a baby, then I would recommend something a bit further ahead in June. And this has a universal appeal. So we have Ballet Cymru coming to us on Saturday the 8th of June, and this is with Romeo and Juliet. Now, we've had Ballet Cymru come to us regularly now for several years with a different show each time, and they are phenomenal, a really gorgeous, high quality contemporary ballet, really lovely storytelling. And when I look around at the audiences that we bring in for these shows, you've got everybody. You've got this wonderful diversity of age groups. You've got young children dressed as princesses.
Nice regal sound there.
That's kind of actually quite timely. I like that. And older people who want to come out for an evening out, they get dinner and a show. We have groups of dance schools come in because they're really interested in the dance aspect. Mm. It's one of those shows that I just feel has such an incredibly broad appeal. And you don't even have to kind of understand dance to be able to appreciate it. So that one, if you're kind of saying, well, if it's not for babies who can go, then absolutely come and see Romeo and Juliet.
The Montagues, the Capulets, the whole range of things, the Jets, the Sharks, and so on. It's quite extraordinary. And now, Leonie, you are a second-year drama student.
Yes, I am.
So it would be crazy to sort of think you're not familiar with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre because you do most of your work over there.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But there are students in this very university, who have never crossed the bridge from the Alfred Tennyson Building, or whatever, to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Ellen being one of them.
I'm going to call you out on live radio.
So from our perspective, what would you actually say to students who might be tuning in, listening to the whole thing, and they might be in journalism, they might be in public relations, they might be in English, they might be in, I don't know, food forensics.
Yeah.
We don't have a food forensics course. Forensic science or food science.
I feel like Every person needs a little bit of theatre in their lives, even if it's just one show a year, or even if it's going every sort of week sort of thing. The Lincoln Arts Performing Theatre.
That's nice. The Lincoln Arts Performing Theatre.
We've gone to a whole new brand.
LPAC.
I did a whole for history. Anyway, the LPAC. Sorry. It has quite a lot of different things happening. Whether or not you have friends that do drama, maybe you could go over and ask them have you got any shows going on?
Drama friend, they're going to say, of course, the show starts right here. That's it's always up there.
We do actually have quite a few big names as well that tend to go. I'm not sure whether or not it would be your thing, kind of the nostalgia, but the
Listen,
horrible
you've
histories.
You've got Ard Lohanian, Father Ted. Father Ted is actually sort of coming to Lincoln. You will.
To be honest, that does look quite interesting. It's just quite difficult to sort of my generation. We only see him as kind of an iconic figure.
Two words. YouTube. Okay.
That's true.
That's all I have to say.
That's true,
no,
actually.
So, there's no excuse.
Leone, your generation, if I said Bandersnatch, would that make sense to you?
Rings a bell.
Right, in that case, this evening we have Beowulf on, and if you like Bandersnatch and you're a student listening...
Or Black Mirror. Or non-linear storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Anything of that ilk, if that's something which you have experience, or you're interested in, then I'd come and see Beowulf tonight. So this is... storytelling of a classic tale of Beowulf, but completely reimagined. And you, being in the audience, you get to decide the direction that tale is going to take, just like with something like Bandersnatch. So he will pause and put it to you, and then the audience, which is like a studio space, gets to kind of a bit of a debate. And then once you've made a decision, on it goes, and you get to completely reshape where that story is going to go. So every time it gets performed in a different venue, it's a completely fresh experience, and it's that kind of interactivity that our student audiences, who perhaps aren't into drama because they're not studying it necessarily, and don't know who some of our more long-standing comedians are, for example.
Ardle, if you're listening, don't worry. Okay. The campaign to get you recognised in Lincoln will continue ever onwards, so that by the time you actually arrive, people will actually know, and not sort of say, oh, it's some kind of iconic series that probably my grandparents liked or something, you know.
It's a generational cultural divide. But this, yeah, if you're a student and you want to give LPAC a try and you've not been there before because it's just not on your radar, and that's fair enough, then, you know, come on down and see Beowulf this evening. It's a really good example. Or No Miracles Here, which is later.
I'm going to challenge you, Julie, now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to challenge two people. What about Ellen, who hasn't been there? What about if Ellen can actually, after she's done the midweek drive tonight, what if she actually goes over to see Beowulf? Would that be an option?
8 o'clock tonight,
and then
would
she
you
could
like
review it?
Yeah, okay, sorted.
So that was moving things, you know, like production economy.
And then you can come and chat again later, yes, and tell us what you thought of coming to the venue.
Yeah, you can review the whole thing. Sarah, obviously you didn't know what you started there with respect to the whole thing. I'm still actually recovering from the Lincoln Arts Performing Theatre. Because I have this vision of lots of theatres kind of jumping up and down, like performing theatres, as they do. It's fantastic. Their little legs, you know. It must be dangerous for health and safety, and probably we won't look at that sort of line of things. But Beowulf, still, are tickets still available if folks are still listening to that?
There are, yeah, there's a few tickets available. It's selling out really fast. I'm coming to see it tonight, and we're looking forward to it. But I think there's a few available on the door as well.
That's if you're listening live to Inspired on Air. If you're listening to it as a podcast, get a time machine. That's all we say. We will be looking ahead to various other bits and pieces. Sarah, we're going to be talking about the Newark Book Festival in a few moments, and opening a few things, because I suspect, actually, I'll throw this out, Leone.
Hello.
Newark Book Festival. Have ever been there?
I haven't. No. It does seem like it would be quite like a nice, tight-knit community, though. Mm-hmm. I have heard things about it, and I've heard the good things.
That's all right. Ellen, like Newark Book Festival?
No,
yeah. Exactly. and Julie?
I'm going to go into to do it this year, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm very keen to
honestly, hear
what
it's like the old Lincoln Book Festival team being reunited, but just slightly on a different side of the River Trent.
I kind of feel like Sarah's keeping that kind of flame alive, to be honest, by going over to Newark and doing it bigger and better there.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine me. You day and night, it's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. I can't see. The dice.
It had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. The dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together, so happy together. And how is the weather? So happy together, we're happy together.
Only fair we actually reciprocate, and Julie, you can now quiz Sarah about the Newark Book Festival.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So, yeah, I'd like to come and see an experience for Newark Book Festival this year, and it's not that far away from Lincoln, so it's really easy to get there. And I've not been before, and I imagine some of the listeners are also in my situation, want to give it a crack and haven't been before. So what's it like when you get there? Is everything all together? Is it across at different venues? What should I expect when I arrive?
Well, it's kind of everywhere, but very close together, if that makes sense. So the main thing for families is we kick off on Friday, the 12th of July, but it runs until Sunday, the 14th of July. So it means you can come as family time on the Saturday or the Sunday, or indeed both. We work with 12 venues across the whole town, but good news, they are all in walking distance. So you can literally jump on the train at Lincoln, pack your picnics, or come along to one of Newark's fabulous, lovely, independent coffee shops and grab picnics whilst you're out and about, because they all do picnics to go away as well.
Oh, fantastic.
And yes, literally, you can jump on the train, jump straight off the train, and you're in 5 minutes of all of our festival venues. So it means that when you get the programme, you can kind of plot your way around it, really, just walking and hopefully taking in the glorious sunshine.
Can you guarantee the sunshine?
We hope so. We had lovely weather last year, so very lucky then. We have loads, as well as ticketed events, so we have lots of lovely story time sessions where we are off travelling everywhere this year. We're off to the circus, we're up to the moon, we're around the world. We're back down to the seaside, so we are literally off on our holidays throughout festival.
And you won't need to have any passports because of whatever happens in Brexit,
no
really,
passport.
So you can actually sort of work through that basis.
No passports in Newark whatsoever.
No worries.
We welcome everybody.
A holiday from home.
Holiday from home, yes.
A staycation.
Home away. So, yes, a staycation, yes. But we do have a lot of authors around the world as well, so a staycation in Newark with around the world. But yes, as well as their ticketed events, we've got loads of kind of free family activities as well. So it's a really nice place to just kind of come and hang out and explore and discover. So both days of the weekend, we have a literature village in the Newark Marketplace. The Sunday is much bigger. We'll be having all sorts of seaside fun on the Sunday, shall I say. And we have crafts activities and stalls. A lot of our stall holders are interactive. And they're a mixture of anyone with literature, so authors, publishers, children's authors, craft stalls, cakes, you name it.
And somehow it wouldn't be a Sarah Bullimore event without cake. Do you
think gosh,
there's
got
of course
to be cakes.
Not. We have to have food in there. We absolutely have to have food in there. And we also have lots of a big street theatre programme as well, which kind of backs that up. So the Saturday, we'll be doing a bit of hula hooping. You also have to keep an eye out for Robin Hood. He's probably going to be found somewhere.
People
on
have been
travels.
Trying for years to do that, though. Like the Scarlet
Pimpernel.
Comes
along with our festival. And we also have some various free workshops with some mummy snails A film as well, which would be good for children as well.
Did you say mummy snails?
I did say mummy snails.
But snails are hermaphrodites. They're male and female. How can you actually sort of be gender identity on
that
basis?
Have you read the book about the mummy snails, Alex?
Clearly, my education is lacking in this.
So, yes, we have all sorts of family workshops across at the library. We have poetry over there. It's literally going to be quite crazy. And then on the Sunday, we are both in the marketplace at Seaside, but also we're across at Newark Castle. And that's when the circus comes to town, across at Newark Castle. So we have all sorts of things there, without giving away too much, but we're going from the deepest, darkest Peru all the way around the world with some trails and some music. And we work with Nottingham Literacy Trust, who normally bring their yurt. We'll have some circus skills workshops and performances and all sorts, really. So it's
a really packed
programme.
And Sarah, the great thing is, when we look on the website, we see media supporters. There we are, your very own station, Sarah.
There we go. We've got you down.
It's the old logo, but never mind. You know, apart from that, it's
have you sent me the new one?
Do you know? This is very true. This is so true. It's quite right.
We're having a theme of misbranding today, aren't we?
It's the dancing theatres that actually got to me. Those performing theatres going out in the sort of thing. It's just quite surreal, really. I will take on board the line of mentioning the Arts Council of England, Newark and Sherwood District Council, Newark Town Council, Nottinghamshire County Council, Tesco Bags for Life, Co-op Community Champion, YMCA Newark and Sherwood, Talent Solicitors, Duncan and Topless, Creative Apostrophe, Aura Business Centre, Ambitions Personnel and Carrot Entertainment. We've given them all the name checks they need now, really. They can play it back
and
as often
marshals,
as they want.
Coaches and narrator. I have two more.
Well, there we go. Awesome, really. More from Sarah, more from Leonie. I mean, actually, I could see, Julie, why you selected Leonie for the Workplace Wood Routine, because not only does Leonie's Luminarium, but clearly, the next thing is, so why would you take any of Leonie's recommendations seriously? Because she's good at recommendations. It's fantastic. Unless, of course, she's had a change by Depol and you've changed your name completely. And it was, yeah.
Not quite.
It is a fabulous name.
I'm a couple more puns away from changing it by Depol.
Really?
I'm kidding, of course.
And here was I thinking you're going to name check somebody who's been tuned in because they've managed to find you online at this moment in time. And their name is... You see, she's forgotten her boyfriend already. You know.
Gone
completely.
Anthony. Yeah.
Anthony. Just get used to that. You know, it's going to happen. You know, out of sight, out of mind.
I thought you were just going to tell me that someone I don't know has started to listen to me. I was like.
And it is International Day of Happiness. Because it is. Interestingly enough, the key things, according to a recent survey, bring British folk the most joy in everyday life. Well, actually, before we really reveal this, what brings you most joy in everyday life, Julie?
Besides caffeine and sleep?
Interesting you said that, actually, because the morning coffee is actually 42% of British people actually say...
I'm not surprised.
It's that morning cuppa that actually sort of is the number one thing for that.
Multiple things, actually. I'm quite mindful on appreciating all the good that goes on in my life. Just, the sunshine today, my chickens at home.
The joy of Silent Radio.
Yeah, just being here, chatting with you. Well. It's, I think, yes, we can all get bogged down on our own stresses, but it doesn't take much to look around and see the good.
Indeed. Sarah Bullimore, what makes you happy?
Everything, Alex. Thank you.
She is literally the Pollyanna of the cultural arts world. It's just fantastic.
The world is full of beauty everywhere. You just have to look for it and focus on it.
A family movie night was top with 55%. Goofing around with your kids, 48%. And then, as I say, those are the key things that bring us joy in everyday life. What about Leonie? What makes you happy?
Definitely the morning tea. It's tea or go home. Sorry, Julie. I'd probably say, you can't really tell because I'm not really wearing much of it today, but definitely the colour pink. If you would see me any other day, Julie can attest for this. Mm-hmm. I definitely like the colour pink.
Pink so. Right.
Nice weather as well. I tend to find myself like a lot more productive when the weather's quite nice. Mm. Like I've been banging on about for the past half hour.
Okay, and Ella?
Probably my answer's a bit less optimistic, but the weekend.
Weekend, you live for the weekend.
I mean, that's fair.
It works so superbly. Okay, where are we? We're actually in Lincoln at Siren Radio. And we've got more things to talk about with respect to Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, including some really good stuff, which is non-performance related, but actually deals with good things for the environment, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, normally when I come on and chat with you, we do talk about the shows that are coming up, which is obviously really interesting and important. But there's other things going on at the venue that perhaps the public don't always know about. So I thought I'd share some of that too. And we've been doing an awful lot of work recently on developing the venue in mind of our audiences. So a couple of weeks ago, we had the Alzheimer's Awareness Charity come in and do some Alzheimer's Awareness training with our front of house team. And that was really wonderful for everybody to really understand the needs of our audience members who perhaps have dementia, and it can be a bit challenging for them to attend a theatre. So it helped us to understand their perspective and make sure that we are meeting their needs and making them feel safe and welcome in our environment. So that, I think, is worth shouting about. So we're really, really grateful to have had that opportunity for that training. And the other big thing that we've been doing recently is looking at our impact on the environment. And we've started an environmental impact group within the venue. And we've met with the Plastic Free Lincoln group, which has only been running for about a month, a brand new activist lobbying group within the city, which is helping to create a community within Lincoln between businesses and individuals and schools and the council to look at what we can do to reduce our impact on climate change. So we're doing a bit of an audit internally to look at where our current waste levels are.
And then stop giving out the plastic straws, then.
Oh, no, don't, honestly, because I'm so embarrassed. So we met with two really lovely ladies who represent the Plastic Free Lincoln group. And as soon as we sat down with a cuppa to have a chat, I kind of slightly embarrassedly took away the individually plastic wrapped biscuit. And that's exactly the sort of thing that we're looking at, is where we are not maliciously, quite blindly, kind of walking into creating waste that is utterly unnecessary. And I think everybody can be guilty of that. But when you're an organisation and when you've got lots of visitors into your venue, we do have a heightened responsibility to really reflect on that and take the action that we can. And that's something that the University of Lincoln as a whole takes very seriously, is looking at our wastage and our impact. So we feel as a venue within the campus, we definitely need to get a handle on that as well. So we're at the beginning of our journey, but we're really excited about the momentum behind it and where it's going to take us.
Sarah, are you a shrink-wrapped plastic biscuit person, or is it a case of, no, I prefer them just to actually go into the tin?
Absolutely, I make my own biscuits.
That's
so
true.
in the tin there. But no, as a book festival as well, we are
trying and starting like we have a green strategy and policy as well. So we look at all sorts of things. Last year we used water plastic bottles the first year, and last year we implemented a no buy of them at all for any guests or anyone. So we're slowly starting to bring in things that we can do and can achieve as well to be better and more sustainable.
And as part of the generation that clearly obviously has the legacy of what we plastic using forebears have actually put before you, Ellen, is this something which you're concerned about, the environment, etc., or is it a case of no, bring it on?
Of course. I think recently climate change has been like a big subject and stuff, and people have felt kind of helpless about it. So a lot of people my age have kind of said, well, what can we do about it? Mm. And I know, plastic's a big one, the straws,
Wetherspoons,
it's a big thing. It's a big thing in Wetherspoons, the reusable paper straws they've replaced. Mm.
Same question for yourself, Leonie.
Hi. Don't worry about it. Lincoln Performing Arts Theatre Centre.
The rehearsals went so well as well this morning. You nailed every line and then suddenly the curtain goes up. I don't know.
It's just nerves. It's kind of a similar thing to Ellen. It's just in the sense that, like, it is very much in the sense that for my generation, a lot of people feel like they can't really do anything, which is frustrating because we definitely can. Like, not to quote on Tesco, but every little helps.
A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's
a lot
Tesco,
more.
By
that's
the way.
A lot. Yeah, that's a lot more of a profound. But yeah, it's quite. Like, such as little things like metallic straws coming into trend that can really help to impact, like, the damage that we've already done to the planet. I feel like that's something that's, like, sort of positively, since we're keeping on the theme of happiness, trying to think of, like, a positive spin on things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In a few moments, we're going to put what some might say would be the impossible question to all four of our co-presenters, and we're going to ask you to select one particular production performance from either the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre in the studio or from the Newark Book Festival. That's obviously Sarah as our telephonic correspondent who would say this is the one that for 2019, or at least the first half of 2019, because clearly we're looking at the What's On summer programme, spring summer programme, that actually my life would be a little less wholesome if we didn't actually feature this whole thing. So that's to come. Meanwhile, Sarah, I'll open this choice up to yourself. We can either go traditional with Andy Williams and Happy Heart, or indeed Blood, Sweat and Tears. You made me so very happy, you know, which clearly you do shed blood, sweat and tears for all the vessels you work through. By the way, Eva McDonald sends her best. She's currently not in the Lincolnshire area. She's currently working just south of Humberside, actually, in Withensey. We will be visiting her, but after her experiences last year in Saltfleet, well, heaven knows, Nina. Let's face it, Sarah, you were responsible for introducing Eva to the whole thing back in the day. So, or Born to Make You Happy or Happy Talk by Captain Sensible. Which one do you want to go for? Britney Spears, Captain Sensible, Blood, Sweat and Tears or Andy Williams?
Andy Williams.
You've gone traditional.
I have.
That makes perfect sense.
There's a certain sound always follows me around when you're close to me. You will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no other for their love. It's my thank you.
with your love. It's my
you were singing along to that, Sarah, in a magical way, exactly, because it falls to you to actually decide who do you wish to go to first. Apart from that, Julie has already said, I'll go last, so you've got a choice of two, basically, on that basis. Do you want to go to Leonie or to Ellen? Who are you going to select?
Ellen.
I would say Coppelia, the ballet. It's really, like, rarely produced in the UK. It's so rare to see, and the Vienna Ballet have a very particular style and charm that's
Saturday the 23rd of March. Very close to William Shatner's birthday. Just a by there, but stop. Excellent stuff, that's Coppelia. And that leaves, of course, Leonie.
I'm going to keep tooting my Luminarium horn and say that Luminarium is definitely going to be something specifically for the beginning of 2019. Is definitely, it's going to be like a big one. In the sense that it's
a big luminarium, sorry.
It's a big luminarium. But also the fact that it will have, quite hopefully, an impact on as many people as possible. And I've only ever heard good things about it. And quite honestly, I'm excited, not just for me, but for other people to experience it as well. Just because of the fact that, from what I can see, the lighting and all the different creations and the different mapping of all of, like, the tents and everything, it's all very inspiring in the sense that, yeah, I think it's really inspiring, and I think it's just inspiring for everyone.
And in terms, certainly, of people who are concerned with respect to the baby project that babies only were allowed in, there is for the Luminarian a child-free session, so adults get their own back.
There is. This is some people will be very, very grateful for this. So yeah. The atmosphere inside the Luminarium, it can be...
Mammy!
Oh, no, it can be very energetic, mm-hmm. And that is wonderful, unless you really don't want that. So there's a couple of sessions which are on from 5:30 in the evening until 7:00, and that is for anybody who's over age of 16. And it just gives you a calmer experience of the space. It can feel a bit more like a kind of almost like spiritual experience that you get in there. You can really appreciate it, perhaps with less energy, without people running around you, and a bit less noise as well, because you do get a lot of like squeals and quite kind of riotous behaviour. It's really exciting, and I think it's important that we recognise that different people are going to Luminarium for different reasons, so we're making sure that there's that opportunity. And it's particularly good for people who want to pop in on their way home from work, maybe, so it's quite nice if you're a commuter kind of cutting through Lincoln. This is definitely the time of day for you to go and experience that.
And it's just as well it's on this side of the railway tracks, by this side, if you're listening and you're thinking, what does it mean this side?
It's not.
They've moved it.
It's moved, yeah. So, okay, this is really important. Because it's a long walk.
I would have been waiting there, outside Minerva, sort of thinking, well, where is it then?
Let me explain. So, yeah, last year we were lucky enough to have it on the return of that big open space outside of the Minerva building, the main university building, next to Brayford Pool.
They're just building a bridge now, that's all.
That's exactly the problem. So the main pedestrian access to that area of
non-existent.
Campus does not exist at the
moment. I have my boat all set to actually sort of...
Why someone has not set up a water taxi yet, I don't understand. I will be paying daily to use it.
Fair.
But it is a big problem, and particularly for people who are walking in from town. But if you have additional needs, like if you've like a wheelchair, the access to that space at the moment is not good enough for us to be able to guarantee a good visitor experience. So we've moved it to the other side of the railway tracks. It's now going to be on the grass area next to the Isaac Newton building. So you can see that from the roundabout at the end of Tritton Road. It's a lovely big grass space, and there's good car parking nearby. So you've got the car park at St Mark's Square, it's probably the closest. And there's a lovely mound, like grassy mound next to where it's going to be. So if you want to bring a picnic, if it's nice weather, I think it's actually going to be a better experience. And there's going to be, on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there's going to be lots of free street theatre happening in that area as well. So it's going to be a bit more than just kind of queuing up and getting in. You're going to be able to spend a bit of time there.
And at the same time, on the 12th of April, Friday, that is, Little Pax and Excite is also there.
Yes, that's right.
A special scenario from that point of view. I mentioned, obviously, over the moon. So far, we have the Joys of Luminarium. That's the Leonie's choice. We've obviously had Coppelia, which actually comes up very, very soon. If you're listening to this, if it's after the 23rd of March, it's gone. And if you want to see that lively production infused with old-world charm, you need to actually be here with the Vienna Festival Ballet's production of Coppelia, Saturday, 23rd of March. Julie.
I'm torn, but I've made a commitment. I'm going to go with Status. Status is on Thursday the 28th of March at 7:30 p.m. So this is a piece being toured by China Plate and Statuto Mainz, and it's written by Chris Thorpe. Chris Thorpe has been to us with work before, and he is exceptional. It is absolutely wonderful, high-quality, new writing theatre. What I think makes this piece so worth going to see is it is incredibly topical. Now, I'm not going to utter the dreaded B word right now, but I think we all know what I'm talking about.
No, I thought surely it would be, have you got any quo?
But he's
well said, sir. Bananas. Because that's what it is. Status quo and bananas. Yeah. Genius.
You're saying off and on when I explain. So it's not about the B word, but the B word does make it very topical. Mm-hmm. So this is a story about your national identity, your sense of belonging. And what happens when you're somebody who chooses to shirk that national identity, and how you are perceived and how you perceive yourself, and what happens if you go on a journey internationally. And it's something that I think is very topical at the moment, and a lot of people will find the themes kind of resonate with them in different ways.
So basically Theresa May, Andrea Leadsom, the entire sort of cabinet, plus various other Westerners.
It's absolutely not that.
No? Is it not?
It's not that, but it's certainly talking about themes that you could connect back to that if you so wished.
In the words of the Scotsman, the words are eloquent, the music essential and powerful, and the performance full of a brilliant, prowling precision.
Yeah, bang on.
Outrageously wonderful. Sarah, what about the Newark Book Festival? Because clearly Ardal O'Hanlon, I've plugged you as much as I can, Ardal, that sort of point of view. He will actually be there on the 22nd of March. That's actually the night before Coppelia, so hopefully you leave it in some kind of solid line. Back this Friday. Sarah, what about the Newark Book Festival?
Well, do you know, we've got such a beautiful opener to the festival on the Friday the 12th of July in the evening at Newark Palace Theatre. We're absolutely delighted to be welcoming Joanne Harris back to the region. Everyone will know Joanne Harris for her many, many books, but in particular, the reason we're very excited is because she's coming with her new book, The Strawberry Thief, which is the sequel to Chocolat. 20 years later after it was first published, and so we're absolutely delighted. So that evening at the Palace Theatre will be so wonderful, because we're really looking forward to revisiting those characters and that lovely little village in France, and all those wonderful chocolates,
and
really.
The movie and all of those things that Joanne Harris sort of led to the world. It has been, quite frankly,
so
awesome.
So it'll be beautiful. And also, tickets go on sale from next week for our festival friends, and from April for the general public as well. So that's on sale soon as well.
Sarah, it's been wonderful featuring you throughout the programme. Obviously, it'd be nice to see you in person, but these days she has to, you know, it's like a virtual voice. put together, really.
I'll be a hologram. Exactly.
We will, I'm sure, work through that. We finished, of course, with the two words, Be Inspired, but there is actually a final happy tune that we're going out with as far as International Happiness Day is concerned. And again, if you listen to it via podcast, you should still be happy. Doesn't mean because it's International Happiness Day on Wednesday, March March the 20th, that the rest of the year you have to be miserable, you know. I was actually, you know, a colleague actually said that when I found my fellow tutor said, oh, can we be miserable the rest of the year then? No.
You can if it makes you happy.
Well, that's true. but Sarah, would you like to actually just inquire of Julie what tune she was playing to her children last night, which of is going to be the one we're going to go out with, basically.
Oh, what were you playing, Julie?
I was playing Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Lovely.
Have you enjoyed your first experience of Inspired on Air, Ellen?
Been slightly terrifying, but World Happiness Day. So.
And you're off to Beowulf as well.
Of course.
It's fantastic, you know, you're reporting back on Beowulf. And, I mean, Anthony, I think that's his name.
it's Anthony. Oh, yeah, it's Anthony. He gets very...
Anthony.
I'll get told off for that
little
too.
Little Anthony, okay. I mean, presumably... has it been okay for yourself, Leonie?
Oh, yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, it's for energy. It's great.
Thank you.
We'll be back again next month, then, hopefully, in terms of the third week of April, which is when Inspired on Air actually returns. Sarah, would you like to lead us in those last two words that obviously are essential to any programme when we wrap it up? It's basically Inspired B, but just reverse. A one, a two, a three.
Be inspired.
Nice lead, Sarah, but it needs everybody in the studio to
say
it as well.
I know.
So let's take it again, Sarah. A one, a two, a three.
Be inspired.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry. Be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Now there is this song I wrote.
And I can't lie.